We are continuing to see fallout from the events of January 6th over these last few days, and one of those is certainly the change in social media with President Donald Trump seeing various social media accounts of his suspended or removed from social media sites. Joining me on the phone is Associate Professor in the Hussman School of Journalism and Media at UNC, Dean Freelon. His research explores political expression through digital media methods. And Dean, I imagine that you are the person to talk to when we have something like this happening, where the president of the United States is having his social media accounts suspended.
Well, I'm certainly a person to be talking about this. Thanks for having me also.
Absolutely. So that makes the most sense with where to start, I believe, since that is the news that we got over the weekend, that President Donald Trump's Twitter account was the first to go, but now we've seen Facebook, Instagram, and many other platforms say that he will not be allowed to post in order to rile up the people and supporters who agreed with the attack on the U.S. Capitol building last week. I'm curious to just what your reaction of hearing this news that President Donald Trump's social media accounts have been suspended with the events of January 6th in mind.
Well, I think that the social media companies really, they've really gotten a good reason to do this, right? So people have called for Trump's account to be suspended for many years now on the basis of the falsehoods that he has told since becoming president as well as before. But I think that the social media companies, as well as many Americans, drew the line at the advocacy of the overrunning of the Capitol last Wednesday. And so that, I think, was the final straw for Facebook, Twitter, and other social media companies that shut down Trump's account. And that was the point after which it became extremely difficult to defend keeping it on, given his behavior, given his advocacy. You know, it's hard to deny that he did invite people there, that he egged it on, certainly did not and failed to condemn it in terms that I think were strong enough for many Americans and certainly for these social media companies. So I think that anybody who was really concerned with his words really saw, and even those many who weren't before last Wednesday, certainly saw that that was beyond the pale for them.
And there's been some kind of outbursts from people who agree that President Trump should have been suspended, but some people say that he should have been suspended a long time ago, saying that, you know, this step that Twitter took, it's a little bit too little too late. But I'm curious to what your thoughts on the impact of this will be, because as soon as Twitter took that step, then it was kind of the snowballing effect of all these others taking effects. And it is a scenario where Trump will be out of office on January 20th, but this suspension of his accounts could last for much longer. So what do you believe the lasting impact of this decision will be?
Well, we've seen that throughout Trump's term in office, he really used his Twitter account to spread all kinds of messages, true and false, you know, basically at will, right? So this is a very major departure from previous presidents. And so really just governing by tweet was kind of his main thing. And so two things are kind of happening at once. First of all, he's getting kicked off Twitter, deplatformed from these various social media sites, and also he's leaving the presidency. So I think that clearly the way that he communicates will need to change to some extent, because he won't be able to use the social media companies to be able to do this. But also what he communicates about will be quite different, because he won't be involved in the day-to-day actions of governing the country. So those two things, I think, are the two main factors that are going to determine what he's going to do. And from there, he can do a number of things. He could retreat from public life. He could try to lead this movement of folks who descended on the Capitol last Wednesday. He could, you know, start up or join an existing media organization. He could do any number of things. I'm not sure what he's going to do, but we do know that whatever it is, he won't be doing it on the major social media platforms.
Speaking with Dean Freelon, an associate professor at UNC who specializes in researching political expression through digital media methods, and that includes social media. Dean, I think it's fair to say that a large portion of the demonstrators we saw on January 6th attacking the Capitol building were influenced by what they learned through digital media, whether it be true or false. What were your thoughts as the event on January 6th unfolded about how social media and partisan coverage has affected how Americans build and shape their political ideologies?
Sure, great question. So basically, the issue that you run into is that, and there's no way around this, is that many people who are on the right side of the political spectrum have really been captured within an exclusive right-wing media ecosystem that feeds them, to be honest, lies, right? So the lie that Biden lost the election, the lie that there's a lot of voter fraud that really swung the election toward Biden, that he wouldn't have won without voter fraud, and all of this. And they believe this. And it's not just the social media companies. It's also alternative media outlets like Newsmax and OAN, and to some extent Fox News, that have really been pushing these lines, if not, you know, outright, and raising questions that are really not justified by any kind of empirical evidence. And I do think that many of these folks, in combination with the politicians that they follow, were influenced by this and followed that all the way to the steps of the Capitol building. And I think it's incredibly problematic. We need to think about what to do about this. The First Amendment, of course, provides very few legal remedies for people who lie, as long as those lies are not privacy violating or defamatory. And so we've seen the social media companies step in and limit speech of folks who spread that kind of content. I was just reading this morning that one of the major owners of some AM radio stations have basically told their hosts not to spread misinformation about who won the election. So a lot of the regulation here has been coming from corporate sources, and I think we'll continue to see that in light of the lack of legal remedies at the government level.
Is there any way to kind of move back from that? Because, I mean, with how technology and how people consume whatever content they prefer to consume just continuing to grow in such ways, is Twitter deciding to take Donald Trump off of its platform maybe a first step where we can actually see, you know, moving backward in some way? Because at the moment, it just continues to grow and create this divide between Americans and how or what it is that they're consuming.
Right. So in the absence of legislation to regulate social media companies, and of course, any such legislation would need to be consistent with the First Amendment, I think, yes, we are looking at the social media companies to be arbiters of appropriate speech, basically. And we have private enterprise in this country, we have private property in this country, and these social media platforms are their property, and they can say what goes and does not go on those platforms. Yes, you know, in many cases they can be argued to have monopoly power, or certainly a lot more power than many of the smaller players. But at the end of the day, unless there are successful anti-monopoly actions against these social media companies, they can say what goes. And then what they respond to tends to be bad press, right? So if they're looking bad by hosting all of this content that is expressly false, and in many cases deadly, then they can respond to public pressure to limit the kind of speech that leads to those kinds of outcomes. And I think that in the absence of any kind of regulation that, again, would need to be consistent with the First Amendment, we are going to continue to see social media companies to be the main ones at the front lines, and also traditional media companies as well, to be on the front lines of determining what kinds of speech is acceptable and what is not, for better or worse.
Speaking with Dean Freelon, an associate professor with the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. Dean, do you believe that now, after what we saw on Wednesday the 6th, which was kind of a creation of something that began online, do you believe that we will continue to see, as some social media or some news outlets continue to kind of move toward the extremes or give platforms to people with ideologies that are kind of at the fringes of the political spectrum, do you believe that there's a chance we could see more events like that unfold as social media continues to play a huge role in our everyday lives?
Sure. Well, the first thing I want to say is I actually don't think that this started, you know, on social media, right? If you look at what really went on in the Capitol last Wednesday, it has echoes throughout American history, going back to the 19th century and before, when you think about the disenfranchisement of black political power throughout the South, right? So in our region, the South is where a lot of this stuff happened, right? So, you know, in Wilmington, there was a pretty big race riot and ousting of duly elected black officials at the end of the 19th century. So we've seen historical echoes of this, and so that's why I don't think we can really say it started with social media. Mm-hmm. I think that we absolutely will see, you know, alternative media systems like Parler and Gab sort of snap up these folks who have been deplatformed from Twitter or who are simply disgusted with Twitter and Facebook's decision to deplatform Trump. I mean, it's basically a market, right? So you have all these users who are not interested in engaging with traditional large platforms, then yes, somebody's going to come in and snap those up and say, hey, you can say what you want here. We're not going to moderate you. And I think as long as it, you know, falls short of directly advocating specific violence, then that's going to be allowed to play out there. So I do think we're going to see more of this. If it's not the ones that we know about, you know, Parler and Gab. Parler recently was all but kicked off the internet, I think, you know, as of today. But I do think that we're going to see other entrants into the system because it's a market and those folks are up for grabs, and some folks will do what they have to for attention and for a buck, honestly.
What do you believe the result of that will be?
Unfortunately, I don't think that we've seen the last of the kinds of violence that we saw last week. There are people in here who, in this country, who are very much, you know, disaffected, who apparently don't like democracy very much, and are willing to do whatever they have to do to keep the folks that they prefer in power. People, you know, we just saw this morning that the Washington Monument in D.C. has been shut down due to credible threats against it and against, Biden's inauguration on the 20th. So people are certainly threatening things even in the wake of last week's insurrection. And I think that the sentiments that are really guiding this are not going to go away quickly. And we really need to figure out what we're going to do, because I just think it's going to get worse and worse until we start taking it seriously.
Dean, is there anything else that you want to add here that you think our audience should know as we begin to wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, I really would try not to discount the extent to which a lot of this is motivated by race, right? So there's been a lot of words to this effect over the past week. We saw Confederate flags, nooses, Nazi signifiers, as well as, you know, swastikas throughout the folks that were invading the Capitol last week. And even the folks that weren't wearing these symbols seemed not to have that big of a problem with it. So. And we also see that even though these folks may be, you know, upset with minorities, blacks, Jews, whoever else, that violence spills on to folks that are not of those identities. So everybody is really at risk here. And that, I think, is why we need to address this, call it what it is, and insist that it has no place in a contemporary 21st century democracy.
Associate professor with the Hussman School of Journalism and Media at UNC, Dean Freelon, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and provide this perspective.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.